That's the key today, is for the Lord to touch you. I'm afraid there's many that sitting in our Baptist churches that the Lord has never touched. So when he touches us, something happens also. I'd like today to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 21. Book of Exodus, chapter 21, we'd like to read the first six verses. Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. And his master hath given him a wife, and she hath been born him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. In chapter 20, we have, of course, the Ten Commandments. And here in chapters 21 through 23, God gives some regulations to his people to go along with the Ten Commandments. And he gave Moses these regulations to govern the people so that they would be blessed in the land of Canaan, the land that he promised to give them. These laws or regulations are designed to keep the people safe, to keep them prosperous and happy. These laws or regulations were designed to enable them to enjoy life and to simply promote the good of the people. This particular passage that we just read contains some regulations concerning slaves, concerning Hebrew slaves. And in the Mosaic law, there are many regulations given to control slavery, to confine it within some narrow bounds. And slavery was a very important function to the nation of Israel. A person could become a slave to pay off his or her debts by serving a certain period of times. A debt could be repaid, and then that individual would be free from any obligation. Poor people could seek refuge by becoming a servant. In exchange, they would receive food, clothing, and housing. Also, we see that one could become a slave to make restitution. A thief, for example, could become a slave to make restitution by a period of service. So the slavery that was allowed under Jewish law was really a provision to help people. It really was. It was a provision to help people, but so that it would not go too far, so that it would not be abused, God gave certain laws. Slavery was a provision to give people a fresh start many times. They had fallen into bad circumstances, and by serving and making restitution, that would give them a fresh start. In our text, we see that this slavery was limited by a law to a maximum of 6 years. No matter what the slave may have owed, if he was making restitution or whatever the the circumstances were. After 6 years, the slave was permitted to go free. In that seventh year, he was permitted to go free. But there was an exception. There was an exception to the rule. That is, the slave could decide not to go free. The slave could decide to become a permanent slave, to be a slave for the rest of his life. We want to take the thought of the message this morning from that exception and make application to the child of God as a willing servant of the Lord. If a servant made this choice not to go free, he was to very plainly and publicly declare his choice. We see that there in verse 5, and if the servant shall plainly say. If the servant shall plainly say. That is, he was to state his choice in such a way that it was clearly understood by all. I do not want to go free. Or I do not want to go back to my old life. I want to serve this master. So he was not to hesitate in his declaration of his choice. He was not to hem or haw in his words. He was not to speak bashfully, but he was to plainly say, I do not want to go free. He was not to speak with timidness or with any misgivings. He was to state his decision in such a way that there would be no misunderstanding. He was to plainly say. So he was to state it in such a way that there would be no misunderstanding as to his intentions, as to his purpose. He was to state his decision in such a way that no one would mistake what he was saying, that no one could possibly misinterpret his intentions. He was to state it in such a way that there would be no confusion, that there would be no uncertainty concerning his intentions and purpose. Once this was done, once the servant would plainly declare that I don't want to go back, I want to serve this master for the rest of my life. Once that was done, there was a ceremony that they were to perform to make it official. The master would bring his slave to the judges, and together, that is, the master and the judges would, or the master and the slave would tell them of their decision. And once it was plainly declared, again it had to be plain, then the slave would stand against the doorpost, and the master, I imagine, would take an awl or a nail, and he would drive it through the lobe of the servant's ear into the doorpost. We want to take the thought of the message from that phrase there in verse 6 or verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say. When that Hebrew servant had his ear bored through, he was plainly declaring a number of things. I want to speak this morning on the subject of plainly said. Plainly said. And if thy servant shall plainly say. And what we have here is a picture of true service to the Lord. What we have here should be in all of our lives that are saved. First of all, the servant plainly declared his choice. After 6 years, he was brought to a place in his life where he had to make a choice. He could either leave or he could continue to serve. The decision to be made was quite clear. He had two choices. He can leave or he can stay. Those are his two choices. But whatever he chose, it was for the rest of his life. You can leave, you're free to go. Or you can stay. There was no middle road. And that is our problem today. Many want to stay somewhere between the middle, between leaving and staying. The choice was simple. You either leave or you stay. No middle ground whatsoever. In our text, the servant would do one of these two things. He would either leave his master, in so doing, he leaves his master's house, and would return more than likely to his old life or to his old manner of living. Or he would remain for the rest of his life with his master. No room for indecision. No halfway point. No turning around point. And this was his decision. No one could make this decision for him. He could not be forced to make this decision. This was his decision. I will either leave or I will either stay. And then the master would bring the servant to the judges. But again, it had to be the servant's choice. It was entirely his choice to remain a slave in his master's house. You know, our life consists of choices. Futures are, to a large degree, fashioned by the choices that we make. But there is no choice so important as the choices we make concerning our spiritual life. And every day we make choices concerning our spiritual life. The roads are always before us. And every road leads to some kind of service. Every road. We all serve something. We all serve somebody. So the choice really comes down to who will we serve? And this was what Joshua was telling the people. He said, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." You will serve somebody. You will serve the gods of the Canaanites, the gods of the Amorites, whatever, but you will serve somebody. You will serve something. And then Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And he very publicly made that statement. And he very plainly made that statement. Now the servant in our text also was to publicly make this statement. He was to plainly say, I will stay. I have made my choice. And I have decided to stay with my master. And this will be for the rest of my life. He is saying, I have voluntarily chosen my master. In other words, I prefer my master above everything else. I esteem my master above everything else, even above my own freedom. And even though I am free to go this day, I have chosen, because I prefer my master, I have chosen to remain here. And the truth is, whatever it is that we prefer, that's what we choose. It comes down to preferences. He is saying, though I have the freedom to leave my master's house today, I refuse to do so. All choices involve a refusing of something as well. He is saying, I refuse to go my own way. I refuse to go back to life the way it was before I came to this particular master. So he stands before the judges, and he very plainly declares, I have voluntarily chosen to remain with my master. I have chosen to be surrendered to the government of my master. I have chosen to serve the interests of my master. He is saying, I have chosen to give all of my effort to this particular master. I have chosen to give my best to this particular master rather than go forth and put effort into life the way it used to be. So we as the Lord's people need to stand and let it be publicly known without any hesitation, without any bashfulness, without any timidness, without any indecision, so that there be no misunderstanding, so that there be no mistaking, so that there be no misinterpreting, so there be no confusion, so there be no uncertainty, that we have chosen to serve the Lord with the rest of our life. We need to plainly declare that to all of our family. This is the choice that I have made. And we need to speak it in such plain terms that even a child can understand what we're saying. And this is how this servant was to declare his decision. Let it be plainly said that we have chosen to spend the rest of our lives, no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the cost, we have determined, we have made our decision, I am going to spend the rest of my life under the government of God. I have two choices. I can remain with my master, or I can leave. I can go back to the old life. But let it be plainly declared by each, I have chosen to put myself under the government of God. I have chosen to please my master above anybody or above anything else. I have chosen my master as my number one priority in life. And everybody needs to know Everybody that knows us needs to know the choice that we have made, our intention and our purpose is to serve the Lord. And if they know that, there's a lot of things that they will not even ask you to do. My family stopped asking me 30 years ago, would you do this on Sunday? They finally stopped asking because they got the message. If your family is still asking, it's because you haven't made it plain enough. If they don't know any better to ask you to go somewhere rather than go to church, it's because you have not made it plain enough to them. Maybe you need to sit them down, get that far from their face, and tell them and speak very slowly so that they understand. But it needs to be made plain. I have chosen my master. You mean to tell me that you're putting the Lord ahead of your family? May I say it even plainer? Yes. That's what I'm telling you. That is what I am telling you. We need to plainly declare our intention. No hemming, no hawing. Plainly say it. We see here the servant plainly declared his love for his master. The servant would plainly say, I love my master. That is, this man in 6 years has not mistreated me. He has treated me great, and I love him. Many people act today as if God has mistreated them. And they have a hard time deciding between the world and God, between family and God, as if God has done something unfair to them. But the servant would be called forth and he would say plainly, I love my master. In other words, it was a choice constrained by love. I love my master too much to leave him. I love my master too much to make a trade for something else. I love my master too much to leave his house. I love my master too much to stop serving him. The Lord has drawn us when we would not come. And we ought to plainly say, I love my master. He drew me. And I love my master. He imparted to us life when we had none. And we ought to plainly say, I love my master. He redeemed us when there was no hope. And we ought to plainly say, I love my master. Oh, but family will say, you mean to tell me after all that your family has done for you, this is how you're going to repay us? May I plainly say what the Lord has done for me. And I love my master. I love my master. It should never be a contest. There is no contest. He has delivered us. He has reconciled us. And therefore we ought to say, I love my master. He has put us into the family of God. He has made us accepted in the person of Jesus Christ when we were unacceptable. And we ought to plainly say, I love my master. He justified us when we were condemned. And we ought to plainly say, I love my master. He cleansed us when we were filthy. He has forgiven us when we are weighted down with innumerable sins. And we ought to very plainly say, so that there can be no misunderstanding, I love my master. I love the Lord. The problem today is God's people send mixed messages. They send mixed messages all the time. And people begin to wonder, well, maybe they're changing a little bit. Maybe they're lightening up a little bit. Maybe they're not getting quite so serious as they once were. Oh, they should never think that. They should think, he's further nuts than I thought he was. He is completely lost it. That's what they ought to be thinking. He has called us into fellowship with his Son. He has given us an inheritance. He has made us citizens of heaven when we deserve hell. And therefore, we ought to say plainly, I love my Master. We ought to want to have God's absolute government in our life. Why? Because we love him. We ought to want to be surrendered to God because we love him. Because I love my Master. We ought to want to be faithful to him. We ought to want to honor him and to glorify him because we love the Master. The servant was saying, I choose to remain with my Master. I choose to serve my Master. Yes, I know I can go free today. I can go back to my old life. But you don't understand. I love my Master. I want to stay here. And he was to plainly declare that. And he was to do so in such a way that there would be no doubt in the judge's mind. This man has not been forced to stay. This man has not been coerced. This man truly wants to stay with his Master. And that's how it ought to be. We ought to speak very, very plainly. People ought to know what we believe. We ought to tell them very, very plainly. Well, you know, they won't understand. Tell them very plainly anyway, whether they understand it or not. We need to declare our purpose. We need to declare our purpose in life. And again, we need to do this without any hesitation, without any bashfulness, without any timidness, so that there be no misunderstanding, so that there be no mistaking, so that there be no misinterpreting, so that there be no confusion, so that there be no uncertainty. I love my Master. And my Master is the Lord. So he was to plainly declare his choice. I have chosen to remain with my Master. And I love my Master. Thirdly, the servant plainly declared his acknowledgement of a debt. He said, I love my Master, my wife, and my children. Now, if one was married and had children before they became a servant, when the seventh year came, they could leave and they would take with them his wife and his children. But if you became a servant and you did not have a wife and you did not have children, but your master provided you with a wife and you had children, if you leave, you have to leave your wife and your children and you go. So he would plainly say, this is a man who became a servant. He wasn't married, he didn't have children, but in the process of the 6 years that he was serving, he was married and he had children. Now the seventh year comes, he can leave it all or he can stay. Only two choices. It's not you leave and we'll give you visitation rights, you can come back and see your wife and your children. No, you leave or you stay. That's all it was. No middle ground. There was no cutting a deal. That's what people are trying to do today. They're trying to live in the middle of the road and try to make a deal with both sides. You know what happens when you do that? You get run over from both directions. If I'm going to get run over, I just soon it be from one direction, not both directions. So take a stand. You're only going to get run over by one direction, from one direction. You don't stand for anything, you're going to get hit from all sides. So it seems to me it's easier to take a stand and plainly declare what you believe. So this man recognizes when he says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, that all the blessings he had, including his wife and children, all the blessings that he was enjoying had come from his master's hand. And he said, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. And I'm staying. There's a great need today for God's people to acknowledge that they have been blessed by God. That God has opened his hand and blessed us abundantly. That's true of every single one of us. Whatever our life is like today, God has blessed us abundantly. He has poured the blessings down upon us. And we need to say again without any hesitation, without any bashfulness, without any timidness, so that there be no misunderstanding, so that there be no confusion. All that I have, I owe to God. And I'm going to stay with Him. All that I have, I owe to God. When family says, you mean after all we've done, all that I have, I owe to God. Every bit of it. And I'm going to stay with Him. He who so wondrously and graciously has blessed us, we ought to choose to remain with Him and to serve Him. Why? Because I love Him. And I want to give Him glory, the glory due His name, for all the ways that he is blessed. The servant also plainly declared that he was attached to his master. He said in verse 6, and he shall serve him forever. Not just another 6 years and then he'd make another choice. This was a lifetime decision. And he shall serve him forever. When his master drove that nail through the lobe of his ear, it went into the doorpost. And for a moment, that servant was literally pinned to that doorpost. He was attached to it. And that was a symbol that this servant was willing to be attached. That there was going to be a permanent bond between him and his master. When the judge or the master drove that nail through that servant's ear, that was a sign that that servant had now invested his life with his master. Every one of us invest our life to something. We all do. You can't live without investing your life to something. Maybe to yourself, but every one of us, our life is invested. Where? Where is your life invested today? May we publicly and very plainly say, I am investing my life with the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen, but I am investing my life with the Lord. I don't know what is going to happen to me in the future. I don't know what my life is going to be like in the future, But whatever it is, it's going to be with him. Because I am attached to him. I'm attached to him. I don't know what problems I'm going to have to bear. I don't know what trials I'm going to have to endure. But whatever problems I have to bear, whatever trials I have to endure, believe me, I want it to be with him and not away from him. And so the servant was saying, I want everybody to know that I am attached to my master. What he was doing, he was declaring his allegiance. And we that have been redeemed by God, we that have been saved by God, we need to plainly declare our allegiance. Everybody that knows us, everybody that comes into contact with us, needs to know where our allegiance is. They need to know that. We need to plainly tell them where our allegiance is. Plainly say, I am going to be loyal to my master. It may be with friends, and you can say, I appreciate your friendship through the years, but let there be no misunderstanding. I'm going to be loyal to my master. And if that costs the friendship, so be it. Don't want it to, but there's nothing to think about here. Nothing at all. That's basically what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told Nebuchadnezzar. He told them, he says, well, I'll give you some time. He said, we don't need any time. We told you our answer. It's not going to change. And people will say, well, you pray about it. I don't need to. I already have. Well, you think about it. I don't need to. I'll get in trouble thinking about it. Just plainly declare your intention. The servant plainly declared his commitment to the master. When that nail was driven through his earlobe, he was consecrating his life to his master. He was making a commitment to his master. Notice those words in verse 6, and he shall serve him forever. The servant was saying, listen up, everybody. I want all to know, and I want everyone to understand. This man here is my master, and I love him. And I am committed to him. And I am going to be loyal to him for the rest of my life. I want everybody to know. We need to do that. Everybody needs to know. He is saying, I choose this man whom I love. I choose his house. I choose to be identified with him. I choose to be identified with his house. I choose to be under his rules. I choose to be under his government. Let the judges be witness. Nail my ear to the doorpost. I am committed to this decision. Again, there was no hemming, no hawing. He is saying, I want to serve my master for the remainder of my day. You know, many today are trying to do what the Bible says is impossible to do. Serve two masters. The Bible declares you can't do that. It's impossible. But man spends his entire life trying to serve a multitude of masters. It cannot be done. We need to make the choice. Who is it that we're going to serve today? We need to plainly declare to all our acquaintances, to all our friends, to all our family, and even to our enemies, who our master is and who it is that we're going to serve. We need to plainly let them know, I prefer the one who saved my soul above all others. I love you, you can tell them, but I want you to know, if it ever comes down to it, I prefer the one who saved my soul over all others. Amen. And everybody needs to plainly know that. And when they plainly understand that, to them you have gone completely bonkers. You've lost it. You've lost it. We are plainly saying, I refuse all other masters. We are plainly saying, I refuse to go my own way. I refuse to go back to my old life. I don't understand why a child of God would ever even want to go back to the old life. I tell you what, the old life scares me to death. I don't want to go back there. We need to plainly declare, I do not want to go back to my old way of living. I put my ear to the doorpost and be branded. And be branded for Him. We need to be branded today for Christ so that all will know where we stand. Where we stand on all things. I love it when people say, well, you don't even have to ask. I can tell you where he stands. But praise the Lord. I love that. Saves a lot of time. Saves a lot of aggravation. And I'm glad they know. I'm glad they know. I get offended sometimes by the questions people ask. Because they ought to know better. They ought to know better than even ask. And I immediately ask myself, well, obviously I haven't made it plain enough to them. Or either that or they weren't listening. So let me make it plain again and take that opportunity. But we need to be plain. We need to plainly declare where we stand today. Brother Larry, you come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.